Live from the Pathway Studios in Johnston proper, you are Live from the Path.
Are listening to Live from the Path. Yes, you are. Coming to you from the Pathway Studios here in Johnston proper. My name is Ben Foose. I'm glad to be here tonight. I hope you're glad to be here.
I'm glad to be here.
I don't even know where you're at. Maybe you're in a nefarious situation. Maybe you're not glad to be here at. Maybe you're like smoking crack in an alleyway somewhere.
That's a weird situation to pull up as our listener.
It's the exact opposite of what I'm doing. The exact worldly opposite of what I'm doing in producing a radio program that nobody listens to. Is a man smoking crack in an alleyway. And it doesn't seem like
that's a contrast.
That's what I'm saying.
A healthy contrast.
I would agree that there's a contrast, but the exact opposite?
It is, because here's what you would think. You would think the exact opposite would be a man doing a radio show that is not about Jesus. But he's also doing a radio show. Like, he's doing the same thing I'm doing, just a little differently. The man smoking crack in an alleyway, that guy's the opposite of what I'm doing. He's probably wearing a stocking hat. I'm bald as the day is long.
I really don't have a leg to stand on in my argument of that's not the exact opposite, because I don't really know what the exact opposite would be, so I'm just going to go, all right, that
works.
You
know what would be uncomfortable is if a man who has his legs removed used the phrase,
I don't have a leg to stand on.
Now, he probably does that because he knows it makes people uncomfortable. Like, I would do that if I were him, I guess.
You're an awful person.
He used it. I'm just saying it's awkward when he does. Anyway, just something to think about. Here's what we got going on the show tonight. We got some trending with Dan. Dan, so don't go through all of them, but like, give me a hint of what's trending in the world tonight that we got to talk about.
Absolutely, there's a man who thought his wife was pregnant and found out she wasn't. She faked it all along. There's a church giving out an assault weapon, and
I saw that. I didn't read anything about it.
It was yesterday. Okay, they're doing it tonight too. And then a woman who injected Vaseline into her breasts.
No, okay, good.
Thought that would be healthy discussion.
Okay, yeah, no, that seems good. All right, so and
gross.
So the concept of what's trending with Dan is Dan's going to provide us, give us a baseline story.
It's hot news right now.
Yeah, this is what is going on in the world.
Within the last 24
hours. And you need to know how to react to it.
Hot.
You need to know how to react, and we're gonna figure out the best reaction to these circumstances, so we're going to do that. Also, I got some Pope-style advice. If you're not familiar, someone has mistaken me for the Pope. I'm out on a balcony. There are people in my front lawn, thousands of them, and they refuse to leave until I give them a bit of wisdom for the week. And so I have something. I have something that I'm passing on. That's my Pope style for this week.
How many thousands specifically are out in your front yard?
78.
78,000. Okay, just checking.
We really should write a book.
Why? Yeah.
Pope style advice.
Yeah, that is a good idea. That is a great idea.
How big would that book be?
I don't know, but we have a lot of stuff.
Yeah, we've had quite a few Pope styles.
Yeah. We can do transcripts.
People keep getting lost on our front yards. It's actually getting kind of annoying.
So as a matter of fact, Mike's Pope style advice from last week, I know for a fact, was used in a sermon in a local church. As
nice.
a clip from his Pope style.
Nice.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Actually, last week's was Mike's Pope style was on what to do when you're feeling distant from God. And so that clip's kind of hanging out on the Facebook, and you can go out and check that out. That would be it's a good clip. It was a good discussion. Also, I thought I had something else to talk about. Hold on. What do we got going on around this place?
We got
Pope style. What's trending with Dan? I thought I was going to do a secular versus Solomon. I'm not going to get it. We'll do one next week.
You can have a story for us.
Exactly. So check this out.
Story time.
Okay.
Story time with Ben.
I was driving yesterday. I'm heading out to the church. I got some stuff I got to drop off here at the where the studio's at, and I'm pulling a trailer behind me, and it's been making this weird noise over the last couple of days, like some clicking weird funky noise, right? Click click click.
Always the same.
Just turn the radio up; it'll be fine.
Which stinks because I just got it fixed. I just kind of replaced the tire was flat. I just got the tire replaced, got the new tire changed out, and everything. I've been driving around for the day, dropped off a bunch of stuff, and was heading on the interstate. You know, going a good solid 65, 70 to where the studio is, and all of a sudden. As I'm driving along, I hear like a clunk, like this. And I'm like, well, that's funky. I wonder what that was. And then I see a tire go strolling by me. Now, it's not very often where you get passed on the interstate by your own back tire.
Yeah.
You're like, well, that's a sight right there. And I thought, but I mean, I'm not clanking around or anything. So I checked the rearview mirror, and sure enough, the tire had fallen off the trailer and had shot ahead on the road. So I'm driving on the axle on that one side, and I kind of pull over to the side. Now, luckily, I'm not injured at all. Like, the car has no viable reaction to this. It just keeps on a rolling and starts making like a groove into the cement.
You can hear the noise though.
Yeah, but I heard it, and then you know, of course, when you look back, you kind of feel it, you know. Okay. And so I get pulled over to the side. Luckily, I'm not hurt or anything. The car's not thrown in the middle of traffic. Praise the Lord, right?
Indeed.
And but then the tire had been like hauling tail past me, and this thing was a rocking. I mean, a rocking rolling down the road, passing traffic. And I kind of looked away. I was looking back at the thing, and I looked over, and I saw across the road, there's a median between the east and westbound traffic lanes. And on the far end, I'm parked on the shoulder. On the exact other side of the same bound traffic, there's people slowing down. So it looks to me as if my tire has gone ahead like 300 feet, taken a sharp lefty across the road, and kind of been settled over that way. Okay? And so we're kind of hanging out. The state patrol shows up, and he wants to talk about this because we're in the middle of the interstate. And I said, hey, man. He goes, where's your other tire? I said, well, you know, I thought it's a funny story. You know, it had 300 feet up, took a sharp lift, and no signal, mind you, and then stopped at the edge of the road. And he goes, well, I was already down there. I don't see it. I mean, come on. How good did you – how would you know to be looking for a tire? You know, maybe it's down there. He said he didn't see it. So we get in the truck, and we're walking along the ditches. I'm pretty sure I'm going to find a dead body out here somewhere. And we're looking all around the place on my side of the road, probably a good quarter mile, around some interchange stuff. I can't find this tire anywhere. So we go down about another half mile, get turned around, and start heading back up the on-ramp on the other side. And just on the other side of the on-ramp, way down in a ditch – I mean, this is probably a good 30-foot ditch – I catch my tire on the opposite side. So from what I've gathered, it's gone. It headed westbound
over the median
on I-3580 for about a quarter mile.
Yeah.
Took a sharp left across traffic, jumped the cement median,
yes,
went across the eastbound lanes, and then down 30 feet and landed there. And I thought, that's a heck of a deal right there. That's the coolest freaking thing I think I've ever seen. Is a tire that moves on its own initiative a quarter mile and then hangs a left. And then I thought, see, now here's the deal. It's like in perspective, I'm pretty impressed with this tire at the moment. And then I was praying with the kids that night, and I thought, like, seriously, praise the Lord, I could have been hurt. Like, a tire falls off your car. It could have easily, like, drug the trailer into traffic, spun the car around. Yeah. That could have happened pretty easy. I'm fine. It goes across two lanes, haul and tail. It really could have hurt somebody, caused a number of serious accidents across both lanes of traffic, and it's perfectly fine. And I thought the Lord has delivered into my hands safety and a sweet story, and that's awesome. But, like, I don't know, we avoided a pretty serious incident.
That'd be pretty frightening if you're coming the opposite direction and you see a tire coming at you.
That's what I'm saying.
Apparently, I mean, five quickly... lanes it went across. Am I wrong on this? Like two,
no, yeah, five lanes.
On the one side and then over and then three.
And here's the deal. It brought to mind something which is on the top five things I've ever seen in my life. Number two was also a tire hauling tail down the interstate. And this had happened like a year and a half ago. Pants and I... you'll recognize Pants, by the way, if you're listening to the show. He's the guy that does the intro to the show, live from the Pathway Studios in Johnson proper. That's Pants. So anyway, me and Pants are heading to church, and we're just driving along the interstate. Same interstate, mind you. And all of a sudden, on the shoulder, we're heading eastbound. Heading westbound on our side of the road on the shoulder is a single tire hauling tail. I mean, roaming down the road. And I looked at Pants. I said, Pants, you saw that, right? I mean, straight line, beelining its way down the shoulder.
Right,
yeah. Right. I said, Pants, you saw that? He goes, oh, yeah, I saw that. I said, I don't know what's going on right here. But that's number two on the coolest things I've ever seen.
So did he give you a ticket?
No. He said, you got to get this off the interstate.
Wanted to stay here.
The tags were 2 days from being expired. And frankly, I think the lights didn't work, but he didn't know that because I had already parked on the side of the road.
Right.
And so he's like, you know, you got to get this out of here. And then he had to leave because someone had called in a refrigerator in the middle of the interstate at a different location. I'm like, what are the odds, man? And I thought, I'm glad I'm not a state trooper.
Is this Iowa or Missouri?
These are things I don't know what goes on, right? That there's a guy with a refrigerator dumped in the middle of the road.
Wow.
And so anyway, so I got to get this thing off the interstate. And it's because of how the thing has fallen, it's ripped open the innards of the tire. The tire won't go back on, and the stems are sawed off. There's like one stem when there should be five. So I can't put a tire back on this thing. And now it had just been, by the way, I told you it was the same tire I just replaced. When I thought, well, that's an unfortunate coincidence. except for perhaps when I changed the tire, I had not tightened it down correctly. And then that is probably the cause of my specific incident, is poor mechanics work.
But no ticket.
On my end. Yeah, no ticket, but we got pulled over again because I had to drive it off the interstate without a wheel on it, right? So it's got a tiltsy, and it's driving on the axle, and I'm going like 8. Quarter mile down the road, off the off-ramp, into the parking lot of a local Five and Dime, you know? And I pull it over, and the Polk County Sheriff pulls over, and he's like, he gets out of his car, and he's like whistling. He's like, hey, what are you guys doing? What are you guys doing? And I'm like, I try to explain it
drugs.
To him. He looked pretty suspicious of me. The original State Patrol guy didn't run the license, but the sheriff did. He's like, I don't know what you guys are doing, but I'm going to need to see your license. I'm like, okay, thanks, buddy.
It's like, I'm already having a bad day. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot, buddy. So anyway, that was a cool story. But it was weird. It did not occur to me fully exactly how lucky I was or protected I had been until I was praying with the kids that night. And I'm like, seriously, though, like, I'm laughing at this, but that I was fairly dangerous on my part and everybody else that could have been running by a free roaming vapor.
This was yesterday.
That was yesterday. Yeah. It was. I mean, but everyone was safe. That's a fun story. I love
got a
that.
Good story.
I have two tire stories of tires on their own initiative rolling down the interstate.
I wonder what that will sound
you got some
like.
Creepy tires.
When you tell your grandchildren.
Yeah.
I was driving an 18-wheeler.
Grandpa Ben was driving. Exactly. And I once saw a tire pass me.
I've not embellished any of that yet.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's going to get better as we go
tires,
on.
Then there was three tires.
Tell you about
tires.
The
there was a legion of tires that passed me on the interstate.
It was raining tires and.
I saw one just take the median and flipped over it.
One was traveling so long it grew a beard.
All right, of the Michelin man.
All right,
a rolling tire gathers no mouse.
You've made the mistake of listening to Live from the Path. All right, Hudson, what's trending in the world? Hit me with it.
All right, here's the deal. There's some stuff going on right now, and you guys got to help kind of decipher. You can't. You got somebody looking at me here.
Big
okay.
news.
Oh, there you go.
Big news.
This is the big news of the hour. I actually, before coming on the show, I saw someone had posted this story on Facebook, so it is already hot.
Pregnant man gives birth, is that what it is?
No, a woman fakes pregnancy. A Canadian woman managed to convince her boyfriend and her town that she was pregnant with quintuplets.
Holy cats.
Wow.
Go big or go home.
The woman told her boyfriend she was expecting twins, and then later on triplets, and then quadruplets, and then
keep going.
Quintuplets. The boyfriend said her belly grew, she experienced morning sickness as well as other symptoms, and it wasn't until she went to the hospital to deliver the babies that the doctors pulled him aside to tell him she wasn't pregnant and never has been. The news of the upcoming children spurred a movement on social networks to help the couple, and donations started pouring in. Currently, the woman is undergoing psychiatric treatment, and the, quote, father is doing his best to pay back some of the donations they had received. The doctors believe she has a very rare disorder in which a woman experiences all the symptoms of pregnancy but is not pregnant.
What, and it's self-determined how many babies are in there? Does that come with the disease?
I don't know. Now, here's the question.
Okay.
How accountable should a person be for their actions if they are legitimately sick?
Okay.
Ooh. A, if a person really doesn't know they're doing something wrong, they shouldn't be held responsible for their actions. B, there's no excuse. We are completely accountable for every choice we make. Or C, I am not smart enough to know the answer to these questions.
Buva, you're up first.
Man, I knew you were going to call
me. When he said not smart, you're the first guy that jumped into my mind.
I figured as much. I'm the first guy that jumped in my mind, too.
Batman, go ahead.
Batman. I'm Batman.
It's a good shirt.
So, all right. I'm debating this in my head, but I think I'm going to be lame, and I'm going to go with C. I honestly don't know the answer to this question. I really don't. I'm not smart enough to know the answer to this question.
There's a lot of layers. If you take this and go on to other issues of mental illness, there's a lot of layers.
Right.
That's why I put that. I kind of gave you an out.
Yeah, I was going to say, I appreciate the out. To be honest,
I was thinking of you.
I don't know enough to not seem completely insensitive by my answer. And obviously, I've never had to deal with this personally.
So your inclination is an insensitive answer.
You've never felt pregnant?
I've never felt pregnant myself.
Have never known?
I'm trying to think of, I've seen this kind of situation, not necessarily a woman thinking that she's pregnant, not being pregnant, but someone having a legitimate disorder, a mental disorder or anything like that, where they do actions that are against a moral code or character or anything like that, and they honestly don't know.
So should it, should the community keep, should this family keep the money?
Oh, no, absolutely not. No, they shouldn't keep the money. The money was sent for her pregnancy. If she thought it was completely real or not, it isn't happening.
There's a picture of him. This is the real guy with four cribs. You can't see this.
He's
on the
already
radio.
Spent some of it.
Mm-hmm. So some of the money's been spent. I think
so
he's been some
sponsors. I'd donate the four cribs. I would explain to the people that, you know, unfortunately at this point in time, my wife is going through a situation, and we truly appreciate your outpour of nicety and things like that. But, you know, what we're going to do is rather than selling these and paying you back, we're going to donate these to the area to people.
Should we contact him? We have a church with a new building. We're going to be. I better contact this guy.
See if he's got some cribs he wants to throw in
it. Yeah, exactly. So I think the guy
shares that he's always talking about.
I think the guy should do his best to reconcile for the situation for his wife because
she may or may not be a cunt.
Well, I don't know. Gregory P. Hudson, what do you got?
Oh my goodness.
What are your thoughts?
Oh, I think. Well, hold on. What's the title of that article, Dan Hudson?
Well, I titled it "Woman Fakes Pregnancy."
All right. It seems like that's not the most accurate title after you told us the story.
Well, the question doesn't... I kind of can make up my own questions.
Right. Oh, yeah. Go right ahead.
I go into the wider subject of mental illness.
Of course. Oh, it's a good story to talk about here. Yeah. So we have this woman, and she's in Canada?
Canada.
All right. Well, that changes everything. So here we go.
She has a trailer.
Really?
And a wheel.
Now, like, she's not... like. It's not proven that she has a disorder. That's just an explanation.
That's what they're saying. That's
yeah,
they're assuming.
That sounds...
She's under
I think that's bogus. Go ahead, Hudson.
All right, so the question is benefit of the doubt here. Now, the article said that she gained weight.
Yes, it gave other details I did not share.
That's fine. You don't have to.
Have to do with pregnancy happening.
If I would actually go with probably choice A here, only because I'm a nice guy and I feel like giving her
they
the benefit
not
of the
be
doubt.
Held responsible.
Because if there's some medical evidence that she was getting bigger and apparently some other things you did not share involving other things that you did not share.
Correct.
That's fine. If there's some medical evidence and she believed it and everybody believed it and everything, and it doesn't seem like she's lying. That's the only thing. If there's some medical evidence, I would have to say she's not lying. And there is that such a thing as hysteric pregnancy.
What did she go to the doctor?
Yeah.
If she had gone to the doctor once, this wouldn't be a problem.
5 points for Ben.
Oh, she went to the doctor.
No, she asked.
The doctor would have said to deliver.
Yeah, that's a bad point.
There's no heartbeat.
She otherwise did not go to the doctor at all until it was time to deliver. A bold move for a pregnancy faker,
oh,
I might
add.
She's
in Canada.
You don't have
like
one,
seven
two,
month
three,
wait.
Or four.
7 months she couldn't
nice.
Get in. There
that's
it is.
True.
No, I didn't even think about that.
That's
situation.
True. The Canada Obamacare.
I told you the Canada's the
problems.
Game changer.
And what kind of husband or boyfriend does not go with his expecting mother to check out the baby?
Yeah, here's the deal. You know what's more interesting than a tire roaming down the interstate is a sonogram on multiple children in a
exactly.
belly. A dude takes off work to check that out. Yeah, this is a bogus story.
Yeah.
This woman either like is faking and otherwise irresponsible. Even if it's a legit medical condition, both of these two people are irresponsible. They should have gone to the doctor. Third of all, from an accountability perspective, you may not be able to hold you broadly accountable for what brought you to a circumstance. However, you are ultimately responsible for the circumstance itself.
Yeah.
Well, you got to return the money. I agree
well,
on that. I mean,
but the proper reaction for the community is to deal with your circumstances as it is. So, like, for example, let's say she had a realistic condition, right? That this was totally legit, that she had a condition. Her community should respond in a way that acknowledges that she has a condition, but continues to treat her like she has a condition. It's not a, you're not responsible, we go on treating you as if nothing is different, right? So part of the accountability is basically owning up to whatever those circumstances actually are and recognizing that your community has responsibility to treat you in light of those circumstances, not to ignore them and say you're not accountable for anything because of your circumstances. So I think that's it's a nuance to what you had posted, but I think that's what my answer is.
That's an option D, it sounds like.
Well, nonetheless, I'm going to give Ben 5 points, -1 points to Buva, -1 points to Greg, because both of you were being too soft. Why didn't they not go to the doctor? How did the guy not be engaged?
Oh, that's the correct answer.
How do you fake 9 months of pregnancy and not until you go to deliver the children go, oh, I guess I don't have four children coming?
I think I should get a point from my Canada doctor, 7 month wait story. I think that's a good point.
I have two things to counter that.
Too bad. Okay.
Yeah, wait. You can choose one of the better counters. Go ahead.
They're both good counters.
No, you get to
number
use
one.
One.
Number one.
I'm muting your mic after
I'm
one.
I'm naturally squishy. Okay. Yes, I'm soft.
Failed.
Number two.
Failed.
I didn't really think about the fact that she didn't go to the hospital.
That's why you got deducted a point. That's not an excuse. That's the legitimate reason.
This is Live from the Path. We ask you to engage your mind.
Okay. You're up, Hudson. Go ahead.
That was the limit of engagement for my mind.
All right. Church gives away assault weapon. And note, this is the media calling it an assault weapon. Technically, it is not an assault weapon. It just looks scary. That's just a side note.
It's a water gun.
For all the gun people who say, wait a minute, that's not an assault. No, it's a real rifle. Okay. Grace Baptist Church in Toy, did I spell that correctly? New York, gave away an AR-15 rifle during a church service on Sunday.
Holla. During the service. Okay.
During the service. They did another one, the second one tonight, maybe while we're speaking, so they could have some of our audience. The church preaches that the constitutional right to bear arms should not be abridged and offered to give away the weapon valued at around $1,200. We have the Constitution to protect us, the preacher told the prisoners during the service, but we have our liberty to protect ourselves. And he did say in an interview that a large portion of the church's budget was used to purchase the gun and to promote the event. I'm getting the point there, the idea that 75 people were present, so it must be a pretty small church.
Okay.
And to throw all your money together and buy two $1,200 rifles. Wow. Okay. Ooh. But here's the deal, because they gave away one yesterday,
that's
one
right.
today.
Okay.
Politics and religion are two topics that don't mix well in social gatherings. So here's the question. How appropriate is it to mix politics and preaching in the church? A, politics has no place in the church. The preacher should remain silent on politically charged hot topics. B, Jesus never talked about politics. Neither should we. C, the Bible covers every single aspect of life, including politics. There's no way to separate the two.
Gregory P. Hudson.
Well, I think the answer is C in this case. I think the Bible covers a multitude of different things, and thus C is the correct answer. And I will say I think that's a false equivalency. Just because we're talking about guns, that does not make it a political issue here automatically. Now, the government has made it a political issue, so you could say that. But in the end, I would have to say the answer is C. The Bible talks about a myriad of things, including political things. So much politics in the Bible. Going to the Old Testament, it's Politics City, and we're the mayor. Having said that, we have, I don't know.
You going to fight Jesus for the mayorship?
I would never.
The coming Messiah.
I said Old Testament adventures.
Yeah. The coming Messiah is the absentee mayor.
Oh, yes. He can, of course. Absentee mayor.
He's pending.
Pending.
What do they call that? What's the term?
The mayor-elect.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a very long lame duck period for whoever was in charge before. Yeah. Long lame duck period for Moses. All right. No, the answer is absolutely C. The Bible covers every single aspect, and thus I think preachers have the ability to talk. Now, should they have? Oh, my goodness. Church budget for the $1,200 rifle? I don't really like that very much, only because there's so many other good things to be doing.
They're trying to be bringing new people.
Bringing new people?
New people came.
Oh, gosh.
People came in off the streets.
Well, you can do a lot.
Did they stay?
No.
They just wanted to win the
rifle.
They
had to be there for the drawing, and they left. Some left early.
If it's just the commuter coming in for the gun in the beginning here.
It was the third guy they called who actually got it because the others had left. Must have been a bad service.
That's like people hanging out at the Walmart till they put out the free samples. Yeah. I just know those pizza rolls are coming out.
I know of a church that had a trampoline in the service.
Oh.
And they brought it in. And so my buddy walked into the service, looked in there, and it had a trampoline, and there was a man praying on the trampoline. He was jumping up and be like, "Dear Lord, thank you so much for this trampoline."
I'm embarrassed.
And apparently he walked out. And he walked out. He's like, this is really not.
That's the kind of behavior that I imagine was going on when, Abigail was upset with how David was behaving. He was doing trampoline type behavior.
Exactly. Could have been.
He sickens me.
But they brought in the trampoline to attract new guests. And I think there's got to be, I don't think a trampoline is necessarily, it's got to be.
What kind of of person are they targeting? Of all the things you can do to bring someone in, they're like, trampoline, that's the guy we need.
Yeah. We're going to bring in flypaper.
Right. Someone is sitting there on the fence of their beliefs in God, and they're just like, you know what, I've really been burned by the church in my life. What? There's a trampoline?
As long as there's a trampoline, I believe.
I'm going to the trampoline church. Sweetheart, exactly. Put on your Sunday best.
Is there a God? Woohoo! Woo-hoo!
Evidently. Look at him fly.
But there's a trampoline in there. Woo! Sure.
All right.
So I'm just saying, perhaps that's gone a little too far with the entertainment aspect and like and the idea. Let's bring some people in. It's my thought.
Booba.
See.
Covers every aspect of life, including politics.
That's a straight C. Jesus will not be told what he will not and will not speak on, and as God's messengers, we are to speak on what he spoke on. C.
Okay, I'll give you each 1 point. I would have given you bonus points if you just totally annihilated B. Jesus never talked about politics. He talked about politics like every page of the... it's all over the place. But anyway.
Missed
opportunity.
Caesar.
I think the only thing that's probably worth commentary on that is where we mix up Jesus's priority when it comes to why he's talking about politics, right? Yeah. He talks on political issues to point you back to God. We do sometimes spend a lot of time, especially in the faith community, talking about politics as if it is God. And that is a mistake.
Yeah.
Politics for the purpose of politics rather than politics for the purpose of ultimately furthering God's kingdom here.
Right. Are we furthering his kingdom here? Or are we making ourselves more comfortable or less persecuted or whatever? Yeah. Like, we fight it for the wrong reasons.
And you kind of infer this, that there are many issues that are spiritual issues that they have become political issues, and you don't shy away from that. We teach scripture and truth, and if it happens to fall on a hot topic politically, maybe it's the politicians need to figure out what the Bible says. But there's some overlapping.
Yep. Yep.
Okay, this one's a little touchy.
Okay.
Little
awkward. Does it need to wait for the podcast? Do you think we're going to make the KTI?
Oh, no,
census?
It's fine. It's okay. Fine. Woman dies after injecting Vaseline into her breasts. A 39-year-old Argentinian woman died after attempting to enhance the size of her breasts by injecting them with Vaseline.
Okay.
She was admitted to the hospital after experiencing trouble breathing. She initially denied what she'd done, and then later had to confess to the doctors that she'd injected herself a few weeks earlier. It entered her bloodstream, caused blood clots, caused issues, blocked her artery in her lung, resulted in death. Oh. Chief of surgery stated, "In all my medical career, I've never seen a case like this. The human body has antibodies to remove bacteria and viruses, but it hasn't got any mechanisms against this type of product." And he said he's been noticing an increase in this type of behavior with women, and also men enhancing various areas of their life. Here's the question.
Yep.
What would Jesus say to the person who would do anything to change the way they look? Like I don't mean like healthy.
That's a broad brush. I mean everyone like, got their haircut recently.
Haircut, yeah. I'm talking about some glasses here.
Surgical or you know,
more invasive
Vaseline.
Changes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
A, I only want beautiful people in my church. The better you look, the more likely you are to be on the worship team so you can attract more people to me.
Uh-huh. Plus a trampoline.
And exactly.
The trampoline.
B, it doesn't violate any ethical or moral code. Do what you want. Or C, I'm much more concerned with the beauty that radiates from your soul than what's displayed on the outside.
All right, Bova. You can dominate this one. Go ahead.
I'm going to go with A. No, I'm kidding. I'm going to go with C. So here's
we need
the
more
deal.
Beautiful people.
If we need more beautiful people, they should have kicked me out of the church a long time ago. I'm just throwing that one out there because I look like a bridge troll. No, that's absolutely ridiculous. Jesus talks about the fact that what matters is the inside. What's coming out of you? What's stemming down from inside of you? If we believe in a superficial God that cares about what we look like, from an enhancement standpoint of I'm not beautiful in comparison to the eyes of society, then I don't want to believe in that God. And I don't believe in that God. I believe that God is much more worried about what's on the inside. That's ridiculous that people think that that's important. It makes no sense to me, and I'm proud of the fact that I've been able to step outside of society and look at the fact that the way that I look means absolutely nothing in the grand scheme of things.
I don't know. Sometimes you're offensive to me.
Well, that's fine.
I mean, I'm dead sexy. I don't know these problems that
people
are talking
deal.
About.
is I've come to terms with the fact that I bring up the back of the crowd with personality, and that's what I'm here for. I'd feel bad if I was like man pretty, it would be unfair to everyone around me.
No, that's true. You can't have everything.
You're a force to be reckoned with.
Right.
If you were man pretty.
I mean, irresistibly charming, incredibly funny. I mean, and smart. Oh, it would just be unfair to the rest of my gender if I were drop dead man gorgeous.
I don't know, Greg Hudson. What are your thoughts?
I don't know. The verse that comes. I don't know. Dan Hudson. We share our same last name. Anyway, the body is a temple. There's no doubt about that. But putting that aside, I agree with I don't know. I think you're a tasty dish, Troy. Okay, there you go. No problem. Just letting you know.
That was the greatest way you could have said that. I appreciate it.
So, I think the superficiality is more of a problem in society today anyway. The idea that one needs to inject their breast with Vaseline, which, if I'm not mistaken, is petroleum.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
drinking oil.
Oil and blood. I'm no medical doctor person or doctor. But it seems like that's just a terrible idea for the purpose of enhancing one's beauty, for the sheer purpose, the exclusive purpose of that. And so I have to say letter C too. I'm much more concerned with the beauty that radiates from the inside, from someone's soul, than the goal of making enhancing one's outside.
How do we change that in culture? Because culture is so based on appearance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how do you teach your children that doesn't matter when all the magazines, all of their friends at school, all the television shows are all about beauty? Everybody wants to wear what the stars are wearing, that type of stuff. How do you pull them away from that?
Well, I mean, I have the unhelpful answer, which is I don't think it does. I mean, like, that's a pull God out of the equation. What else do you have to worship but yourselves? You know what I'm saying? Like, where's definition of beauty is in the eye of the beholder? That's the whole process of reading a magazine, who's beautiful and who's not, right? So, like, when the definition of what is good, what is not good, what is beautiful, what is not beautiful, what you want to be as a person, and where you're going, if that is all not given from God, then one person's opinion is as good as the next, and then we're just a world fighting for opinions, which is what you see there, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think separate from God, it's very, very difficult to create a society where that's not the case. Because even if you had someone will come up with the standard, but it's still arbitrary and it's still people driven.
Yeah.
And I think that will always be the case from a raising your kids standpoint. You know, one of the things that I noticed, I was reading an article and it was talking about how we innately talk. Even when you meet little girls, like 3-4-year-olds, right? Oh, that's a pretty dress. Oh, mm-hmm. You look gorgeous today, right?
And it's a spinny for me.
Yeah, it's so a very safe thing to say, you know, and girls like hearing that. But to a certain extent, I wonder if you've built that into them is the thought that, like, this is how I want people to react,
Your
know?
Hair looks nice today. Oh, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. That's the first thing that you notice. And one of the suggestions that they said is, like, when was the last time that you saw, you know, a 6-year-old girl and said, hey, what's your favorite book? Like, you know, like, what do you like to read? Or I don't care what it is, really, but, like, it's kind of built into the niceties of our society that you go to how a woman looks.
Well, what does Peter say? What is beauty? Supposed to be on the tip of your tongues. I didn't look at him either. I mean, what does he say? It should be not from outward adornment, from an inward. You know, I mean, what is inward? What is inner? Inward beauty. I mean, how do you recognize that in the little 6-year-old? Oh, I like your smile today. And it doesn't matter what their hair looked like. I mean, not that you want to teach them to not comb their hair.
Wouldn't a smile still be a superficiality, though?
Yeah, but, you know, I like the way your eyes sparkle. I don't know. I'm trying to get your help here.
I like your soul.
I like your soul. Your soul's really attractive today.
that's
I like the way you didn't
creepy.
Punch your brother
please,
on the way
please
in.
Don't ever say that to someone.
I agree. I agree.
Your soul is attractive. And then stare at them and breathe heavily.
Look
yes.
deep that's into my eyes.
Look at
the did you answer the Ben?
I see. C, straight yeah. C. Yeah.
Well, there's a certain level of superficiality to everything, even if that the church is doing in many cases. And going back to what we were talking about before, trampolines in the church, other things like guns. Guns are not a spiritual matter, really, for the most part. So having said that, are those not superficialities too? Do not people are more likely to turn into a televangelist that's attractive versus one that's not? I mean, all of these things do affect the church. How important should they be for the church? Obviously not that important, but is there at least a level of, well, we have to have a church building that looks nice instead of a dump that literally looks like nothing? That's something kind of consider as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Superficialities, because we are living in that society that is so superficial, and we're trying to bring people to Christ in a superficial society. So how do you connect with those people? All right, and it's not, of course, you can't connect them in an exclusively superficial way, but it's the society we live in.
There you have it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, Ben comes away winning trending with Dan with the number of points. Booba has 2 points. Coming back from the -1, I gave you one, then I gave you a two because I can't remember what your answer was, but there was something good answer. I liked it. And Ben has 7 because you got 5 on that first. And that really got you going. And Greg,
sweet. 5 points, man.
You ended up with a -1.
Awesome.
Because you started with -1, you came back, and then you said something about a tasty dish, and I had to give you a -1.
Boy.
On that. So,
it's a hard grader.
Better luck next time, my friend.
I was unaware that it was scored.
We make it.
Yeah,
up
I didn't even
go.
Know it was scored either. Too. So.
All right, you're listening to Live from the Path. That was trending with Dan.
Thanks, Dan.
We're caught up on the big things that are going on in the world today.
I feel trendy.
You are.
I think that makes a lot of sense.
It's your shirt.
If I call you a tasty dish, do I lose another point?
I think that's a gain a point.
Yeah.
You're like, can I get back into at least
10 points for Greg? Oh, winner! Look at that. That's a.
Okay, so pause. Here's
final second move, might be.
I love your soul.
creepy. I like your soul.
You got a nice soul.
Really, really creepy.
Super creepy.
So, okay, so here's Pope-style advice. So someone's mistaken me for the Pope. In fact, 78,000 people are on.
78,000 people.
A lot of people.
They've wandered onto my lawn, and they're waiting for me to come out onto the balcony, or in this case, my meager front porch. And in Pope style, provide some sort of advice that would allow them to carry into their lives and will hopefully have an impact. And it has to be of a personal nature, something that otherwise is impactful to my life, something that I'm sharing out of my own thoughts. And it's I think it's pretty easy for this week. But my Pope style advice is has to do with giving advice, and basically. If you're going to give advice, take the onus off yourself and point it to Jesus, and then you're going to have to let it go. Because the thing is like, Mike and I were talking about this, this week, is that you find yourself in situations where people, it's just life stuff, right? People, when you have something where you feel like you got it together, people want information from you. They want to talk to you about stuff. They want to ask you advice and things. And so, a lot of times, like, there's a responsibility that comes with that where, like, you want to help people. That's just the general nature of giving advice. I want to help you out. I want to, whatever's working for me, maybe I can share it with you and that type of thing. And the problem is like, a lot of times, you're in a weird position of trying to come up with advice. And what I found myself kind of getting into is trying to help people out of little circumstances, and they're not coming from my same perspective. Right, I'm trying to point them to Jesus. They just want to solve their earthly problem. Mm-hmm. And at some point, if they're not willing, if they're not looking for the same thing that you're looking for, coming from your same perspective, there just isn't anything you can do for them. And even if your advice makes a lot of sense and should have a worldly benefit, if they're not ultimately going where you're trying to point them to or have a desire to, like, you're just not the right person to help them. And I've been running into that just quite a bit lately where I think I'm trying to solve problems from pointing people to Jesus, giving them a Jesus perspective. How would I handle this if I were this situation? What scriptures would I go to? What would I use as my guide? And if they're not willing to submit to that same guide, my advice is completely worthless to them. And at some point, I just need to be honest about that. Hi, how you doing? I would point you to Jesus. My advice follows this type of structure. If that's what you're looking for, if that's what you want to be pointed to, I can certainly help you with that. Okay, I have the resources. I get that. Anything short of that, you're going to have to go somewhere else. And I have a hard time with that because I think, no, I feel like I can help this person. I feel like, they'll get it. It'll soak in. But ultimately, it won't. It won't soak in. If that's not what they want, if they don't want God's answer to their problem, that otherwise I would hope to be blessed to pass on, I'm not the right guy to help them out. And so, As a person that loves Jesus, as a Christian, your responsibility is to communicate God's word. Your responsibility is to guide people or point people to a path that ultimately leads to Christ. Beyond that, if that is not what people want, it simply isn't really your responsibility anymore. It just isn't. And it feels like it should be. But if that's not what they want, there's not much you can do about that. And I know I hesitated to give this as Pope style advice, because I think you can take this and twist it so that it's not, it sounds wrong. But it should be a huge lift. Your job is not to be the world's best advice giver. It's not on you. As a matter of fact, when people come and asking for help and stuff, it's simply not you. It has nothing to do with you. It has to do with the God that you know and the kingdom that you serve. And if you can communicate that appropriately, you fulfilled your responsibility. And just like people can reject the gospel or not, they can reject the structure of God's kingdom and how he would otherwise have you solve your worldly problems and find peace and joy. And if they're going to reject that, there just simply isn't anything that you can do about it. And there's a weight that comes with trying to help someone and it not working. It feels there's a heavy weight where someone says, I want your help, and you provide advice and nothing changes in their life. And you're like, I'm trying to help. But ultimately, if they don't want what you want, if they don't want God and they don't want God's solutions and they're not willing to pursue that, your advice is going to look foolish and it's not going to do anything. And so I guess my Pope style advice is to know where your responsibilities lie. And here's the deal. It's you're not bowing out. You're giving them the most powerful opportunity that they've ever had. You're giving the best possible counsel because it's not yours. It's coming from God. And that's what you're giving them. They have the choice to reject that or not. But it's the onus is not on you. You are a passer on of God's wisdom, not a creator of your own. And that responsibility doesn't sit on you. And looking at, around at a world that largely doesn't follow Christ, even within the church, that is a very heavy weight that can sit on you if you take it upon yourself and your advice to solve other people's problems that aren't being pointed to Christ. So anyway, as you find yourself growing and maturing in faith, it will draw people who need help. They can tell. They can tell something's different. What happens? They see someone who's got, they feel like their life is in order. I want to talk to them. But like your life is in order because you follow Jesus. That's why. Mm-hmm. And people will miss that. And the individual pieces of advice on its own simply aren't going to do anything.
I've had a lot of people leave conversations with me where they had come for some type of advice in some type of earthly thing. And they leave very frustrated because we can't get past that first base step. And yeah. they just want to know how can I make the pain go away? You know, help me fix the symptoms. And I'm trying to help them really solve the problem and really correct the issues in their life that usually is not a quick fix. It's often a long term. It took them a long time to get in this situation. It will take them a long time to get out of it. And that's really frustrating for people when they have no intention at all, like you say, of following Jesus or changing their worldview. And I'll always say, well, how's that worldview working out for you? You know, that got you here, right? Well, yeah, but blah, blah, blah. Well, you know, there's nothing I can do for you until you come to the first conclusion of God has a design and he has a design for your life. And here's the way to go. Will you acknowledge God first?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's challenging.
Oh, absolutely. I think we've talked about in the show before, without faith in God, I hesitate to call it this. So don't take me wrong in this, the product that we're offering, our this is the faith that we have. Without a faith in God, a relationship with God, it's kind of meaningless to someone who doesn't have that. We're saying here is an authority that you are subject to. Here is a relationship that you are subject to as the inferior to a God in this universe. Without a connection on a personal relational level, it means nothing. I can't go to someone and say, hey, you're not supposed to do that because it's against God's law and it's against God's heart. Without them giving a crap about God, it means nothing. And I think that we need to take that standpoint in a lot of our advice giving and the conversations that we have. And just this week, I had a very, very heavy conversation with someone about, she was coming to me from a standpoint of an atheist standpoint. And rather than going to her and explaining all the scientific facts that point to God and talking about how evolution couldn't have happened because of a giraffe and blah, 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 blah. Yeah, I know those scientific points, and I've studied those, and I've looked at that a lot. But without a relationship with God, it doesn't mean anything.
Right.
And my first and foremost duty is to get that person to start thinking in the point of a relationship with God. Obviously, God's the one who's going to actually bridge the gap and get the relationship. But planting the seeds of a faith rather than a science, I'm not going to go to that person and tell them all about the scientific reasons God exists. I'm going to go to that person and talk to them about the reasons that God exists and how much he loves them. and the relationship that they could have with a creator that loves them more than they could ever even understand the word.
Yeah.
Our human word does not cover the actual implications of God's love. We don't have words for it.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing I can say to fully encompass God's love. And I define it that way. And that's how you start that. That's how you start the accountability of let's get your actions in line, but first let's get your heart in line.
Yeah, yeah. So Greg, you're a teacher. You work with students, many of which are not there to worship Jesus. I'm surely they come to you with not, you know, I don't know, stuff. How do you work around that?
Oh, well, to touch on a couple of Troy's points here, I like how you say the plant the seed, because when we talk about God's going to bridge that gap, he is, all right? But there's, Ben Foost, from your Pope-style advice here,
yep.
It's good stuff. I like to take a hopeful attitude when it comes to that,
mm-hmm.
In regards to, like, the planting of the seed here. So if I'm talking, giving you some advice here that's ultimately leading you to even begin to consider that maybe you are not the number one person on this earth,
mm-hmm.
all right? Because a lot of people come to advice with
that's
that.
A bummer.
With that in mind,
yeah.
you are not the center of the universe. You are not the first and foremost person on this earth. So having said that, when you're giving people advice, even if they don't accept it, like you were talking about, we can't even get on the same level because we're coming from such different places.
Yeah.
I take a very hopeful view of that, though, because of the thing that you said about planting the seeds.
Yep.
The thing that you were talking about that, you know, you're giving advice and coming from a certain perspective, and you were talking about that, too. My hope is that there is a first step somewhere in there, even if you don't realize it. Because a lot of times we don't realize it. You hear so many stories of people coming to Christ who just who tell, well, yeah, there was this preacher, you know, 10 years ago. He said something. I didn't think about it for about 7 years.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I did. And then all of a sudden, praise God for some awesomeness that just happened in the most random, not random ways, but seemingly from an earthly random way. So from a teacher perspective, when I'm looking at students who might come for advice, a lot of times they're just coming for, like, how can I make up that quiz?
Yeah, right.
Well, do you know Jesus?
Exactly. Well, that's always the first
can
question.
Can you answer the big question? The final question?
There's really only one question on the quiz. All right, there it is. I would say it's a challenge, secular school versus spiritual aspects. However, I think from a teaching standpoint, it's all about being a good example. If students can know that I'm a Christian, I think that's a really, really positive thing, because normally I would say the world probably frowns upon proselytizing within the public classroom.
You can't have a baptistry in the corner?
No, I got one. Yeah. I just can't use it. It's ridiculous. All right, so it's really quite unfortunate here. Mike Foos would be happy. I do have a piano in the corner.
Well, there you go.
An old keyboard from 1995. Plays some awesome demo music. But from my perspective, it's more an example. And if they know the position where I'm coming from, I have a very hopeful attitude that can plant a seed potentially.
Yeah. So. Yeah. No, I think that actually points to where there can be some manners of peace in the life of a Christian. Is like your responsibility is to point people to Christ. And you may not see that, right? But it could be a seed, even if ultimately your direct advice doesn't become fruitful for them because they weren't willing to hear it at the time. But like that's it. That's where your responsibility lies. Ultimately, they're not picking you versus somebody else. They're picking God or not God. And ultimately, that's on them. And we can boldly be people who point people to Christ, not because we're just trying to win sides, but because it's the answer. And it's the right answer. And frankly, the things that if you're not pointing them to that, ultimately you're doing them a disservice. But I guess broadly, maybe it's just you don't have to take the weight of the world or even other people's problems upon you. It will burden your heart when people don't choose Christ. That's true. But like they're not your problems to solve. And they're ultimately somebody else's choices to make. The best that you can do is be honest with them and love them and communicate them in a way that ultimately points them to Christ. So that's my Pope stuff for this week. I'm thinking about it. I'm still struggling with it, to be honest with you. But I think that's my Pope stuff.
I think
week.
You've appeased the 78,000.
They're leaving my lawn.
They're leaving your lawn.
They got it.
That's what I like to hear.
Get the advice.
Real quick, before we hit the station break. So I just can't remember. I feel like we did not cover this fully last week. But there's been a recent survey about the Bible in American life, and The surveys have found that nearly 8 in 10 Americans regard the Bible as either the literal word of God or as inspired by God. But there are surprising gaps in America's biblical literacy. So just a few takeaways from this survey. So there's a 50-50 split among Americans who read any form of scripture in the past year and those who did not. Among those who did, women outnumber men, older people outnumber younger people, and Southerners exceed those from other regions of the country as far as who reads the Bible on a daily basis. Or excuse me, any form of scripture in the past year. I wonder if that includes the John 3:16 side of the game. What do you think? No? No count?
I hope
fair
not.
Enough.
I don't think that counts. No. Okay. It's not the actual text.
Yeah, fair. Okay. Among those who read any form of scripture in the past year, 95% named the Bible as the scripture they read. All told, this means that 48% of Americans read the Bible at some point in the past, excuse me, read the Bible at some point in the past year. Most of those people read at least monthly, and a substantial number, 9%, read the Bible daily. I'm not sure that I would say that's a substantial number.
No.
9%? 9%. Substantial.
9%, say it again?
It's a substantial number, 9% read the Bible daily.
Oh, and they say substantial in the article.
Yeah.
I suppose a person who is a non-Bible reader would think that as substantial. Yeah. Look at all those people reading the Bible. I would never do it.
I wouldn't do that. 9%.
That's substantial. I expected it to be one.
Yeah.
Substantial. Nine times what that? I expected, thus substantial.
All right. Which do you think is the top Bible translation choice by a wide margin?
I know it. I just read this recently. If it's still true.
Is it still the NIV?
King James.
It's the King James. King James.
I don't know why.
It's
the Gideons.
NIVs.
Yeah, despite it says, despite the proliferation of Bible translations, the King James Version is the top choice and by a wide margin of Bible readers.
So it's no wonder people say I can't understand the Bible.
Thou kiddest
me. I can't
me.
Either.
Yeah, everybody's reading the King James still. It's interesting. The NIV has been the top seller for many years. Which would otherwise seem to indicate that the people that are reading the King James are people who are not buying Bibles, right? They're retaining the Bible that otherwise they were given or have used for a long time.
Well, and it says there was the older which population is reading it. Yeah,
yep. So of Bible readers, King James Version is the top choice. That does make sense. Hmm. It is weird, though. People will say that they don't understand the Bible. And, if you're walking into the King James translation, it's not that it can't be used. A lot of people still use it, right? Yeah. But there are language things that you have to digest a little more than, say, reading like an NIV or an ESV or something like that.
Yeah.
What was some other stuff? See, strongest correlation with Bible reading is race. African Americans read the Bible at considerably higher rates than others. Half of those who read the Bible in the past year also committed scripture to memory. About 2/3 of congregations in America hold events for children to memorize verses from the Bible. You do that, but you memorize the scripture?
I do a little bit. I'm not as good as it as I want to be. I recently, just because we do Secular versus Solomon, accountability partner and I decided that we were going to try and memorize the entire book of Proverbs.
Sweet.
One chapter in, we realized that was an awful decision.
That's hard because it's not like a theme you can follow.
It's random. It's completely random.
There is a little bit of a theme to it.
Well, the first few chapters.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Exactly. So I'm not memorizing verse by verse by verse, but I am memorizing the structure of the chapters and the way that it works. So I'm able to recall a lot better where things are in Proverbs now than ever before.
Yeah.
I have done memory verses before, and I think that being able to call up, Romans 3:23 and Matthew 7, things like that, I think that's an amazing skill. However, do I think it's as important as people put a lot of effort into? No. I think that being able to pull those up is a very good thing. However, you do still have your Bible, and you can pull that up. So memorizing where stories are book-wise, I think, is a good thing, just so you don't fumble through your Bible when someone asks you a question. But the specific verse memorization of, I memorized the entire genealogy at the beginning of Matthew, I don't think is as important.
It's coming from a guy who knows every 80s song by heart.
Me?
And every movie ever written.
You're listening live from The Path. If you're on 99.3, I've got to let you go. If you want to hear more, you can check out the podcast. Go to livefromthepath.org, clip from the show, sign up for the audio podcast. If you're listening to the podcast, we'll be right back with you. There's plenty more show to come. And I love you.
I love you too.
I wasn't talking to you, I was talking to the people.
Oh.
I'm a man of the people.
his pants and his voice. I want to hear it.
He does not reintroduce you.
Oh, dang it.
Actually, we should have him come in here and be like,
extra content.
Extra content. Awesome. You're listening to Live from the Path plus this material.
All right, let's see. Let's round out the Bible stuff.
Double X live from the
Actually, I thought this was interesting. So among Bible readers, 31% read it on the internet, and 22% use e-devices. But it says less than half of those who read the Bible in the past year sought help in understanding it. Among those who did, clergy were their top source. The internet was the least cited source. Good. I call a lie.
Yeah.
I say that as a filthy lie.
Shenanigans on that one.
Yes.
Internet is a scary place to get any information that you want accuracy.
Actually, I take that back. The given the translation, right? Given the people that are, if you're reading the King James, based upon my assumption that it was given to you or you've had it for quite a while before the proliferation of new versions, you probably aren't using the internet mostly for your Bible reading and are less likely to seek the internet as any source of truth to validate what you're reading in Scripture. So actually, I guess I could see that based upon the King James statistic.
Why do we all sound like Yoda?
Anyway, interesting. Oh, here we go. What do you think the
Bible read you must
favorite verse of those surveyed? Yeah, now consider the answers they've given so far. Two favorite verses.
Matthew 7:7.
Good. Greg Hudson, what do you think?
Well, I mean, I'm reluctant to really say John 3:16 because I mean, but no, I think Genesis 1:1. Right there.
Because they were alive at that point? That's offensive, Greg Hudson. I mean, they're old, but they're not ancient of days.
Ancient of days. It's right there. Genesis 1:1.
I was there on day six.
I remember it.
What do you think, Dan?
I bet it's that whole I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Yeah. I think you're jumping a generation. I think that's most likely to be in like my generation who thinks things like that.
Well, this is elderly people.
Well, think of it again. Assuming that they're people reading the King James translation, mostly don't use the internet to validate how Scripture is. I feel like it's probably older Southern folk that are like reading the Bible daily. I'll give you a hint: salvation and death. So John 3:16 is one of them.
First John 3:16. Similar.
death. What's your death scripture?
And like there is a point in for man wants to die and
nope.
face judgment.
When you die, they say this at your funeral.
Must be a little
almost
heaven.
Every time. Oh, for heaven's sake!
He's dead
recently.
I've not died yet, so I don't really know.
Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death,
Psalm 23.
I shall fear no evil.
I'm
embarrassed
for thou art with me.
I was too busy thinking about Ruth.
Luckily, we're in the podcast, and only James heard that.
Matthew 7:7.
Revelation.
No, Matthew 7:7 did not make it.
I love it.
Ask it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you.
I once did a sermon on all of the 3:16s of the Bible.
Ooh,
all right, because everyone
awesome.
Focused on the John. The most interesting, I think it was Joel 3:16, and it said just, "Thus saith the Lord, make this valley full of ditches." And that's Joel 3:16. I believe it was Joel, and had fun with that one. That was nice.
Joel 3:16, and we'll go with the ESV. The Lord roars from Zion and utters his voice from Jerusalem.
Never
the
mind.
Heavens and the earth quake. But the Lord is a refuge
Joel
to his 3, people.
Joel 3:16 was an awesome one. And I'm thinking of, I don't remember which is the really, really good one. But
you got the trampoline out for that one.
Yeah, I know. I can't remember maybe it was Chronicles or clearly I'm misremembering, no doubt about it.
All right. Here we go. Joshua. Dear Life from the Path, my boyfriend Caleb and I have been dating for 3 years. I'm sure he'll propose within the next few months. I'm having a problem with this because Caleb's best friend AJ will be proposing to his girlfriend in the next month. They should be able to enjoy their time and let all their friends know. Caleb has always followed AJ's lead. When AJ buys his girlfriend jewelry, I get jewelry. It makes me feel like an afterthought and that the gifts are not sincere. If Caleb does propose close to the time that AJ does, I'm going to say no. I don't want a copycat engagement so my boyfriend can keep up with his best friend. Please advise. Coming in second in New York. What's your advice, Life from the Path?
You know, she's not coming in second. Just enjoy what you've got. I mean, if he's the right guy for you and you can see yourself committing to him for the rest of your life, who cares who's being engaged first? Who of your friends are being engaged or getting married? You're kind of comparing yourself to this friend. You need to look at your own life and your own situation
And so what? So maybe he's not the next great leader in the world. Maybe he is a follower. Well, whatever. I mean, if he's the guy, go for it. That's silly.
But what if he actually is doing it only because his friend is doing it?
Let's get married. Everybody's doing it.
Everybody's doing it.
Well,
but you have to trust her heart that she would know that he's not doing it just because.
Yeah, what? Yeah. She seems more jealous of her friend, girlfriend, getting engaged first. I'm reading between the lines.
She's either one.
Booba, you can't just sit with a perplexed look on your face. This is a radio show. Articulate your business.
I'm waiting for a chance to say something. I was being polite, sir.
Jump in. Discourse.
Yes.
The water's fine.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here. Jan Booba. No. What would be the problem with her just talking to him about this? Like, it seems like she's feeling this and not talking to him. Just going up to him and be like, hey, Caleb, you schmuck. Let's talk. I feel like you've been doing things to follow along with AJ. Is that true?
Is that worthy of disqualifying marriage, though? I mean,
No. I'm not saying that from the standpoint of have this conversation so that you can get it out in the
world. Yeah, I mean, I'd have the conversation.
And then eliminate the conversation of marriage. I'm just saying be open. If you've been in a relationship with this guy for 3 years, if you're feeling this way, talk to him about it and get that out of the way. Maybe he's going to say, well, I didn't even think about that. It never clicked in my mind that I looked like I was following Caleb or following AJ. That's not what I've been trying to do. Let's get married right now. You know, who knows if he's going to have that conversation or not. Stand up and be bold and have a conversation with him. It's just communication between relationships. Why is that so difficult?
Yeah, if you can't talk about that now, it's going to be a trouble in the future.
Exactly.
For
if
when
you can't,
real issues
if
come
this
up.
Is something that is legitimately stopping you from committing to someone for the rest of your life, obviously, it's a big pain point for you.
Yeah.
Talk to your boyfriend about
it. And I would
that.
Say she's not mature enough to get married. If she's ready to give everything up because of something that has nothing to do with him, she's not mature enough to handle
big girl
decisions.
That's what I'm talking about. I feel like what she's pointing to is that he's immature. He can't make his own decisions. He doesn't, you know, he's just following the lead of this guy. I would say her reaction, if that's the case, is also extremely immature.
As immature.
And they probably shouldn't be getting married anyway. Like, think of this. I actually agree with Dan. I feel like he could be he's just a guy who sees somebody else do something for his girlfriend and for their girlfriend and says, oh yeah, my girlfriend deserves that. Like, he doesn't necessarily have good initiative. He's not the sharpest tool in the shed probably. Right. But he sees someone else and like, isn't that what commercials are? Isn't that the basic nature of like advertisement?
Is to try to get diamonds.
Yeah,
people
are doing this. You should do this for your wife or girlfriend. Like that's the nature of advertising. All this guy's doing is he's using a local advertiser as a best friend.
Yeah,
sweet. I mean, he could be a dummy. He could be a follower, but like
probably is. He's a dude.
That's a pretty. It has to be limited somewhere, right? He's got some control because he's not changed his name to AJ. He's not, you know, you don't get the feeling that he's trying to also propose to AJ's girlfriend. Like, he obviously has some sort of context in which he doesn't act the same way.
Very bold move.
Well, it's not like he's seeing his friend do this and saying, well, that's not for me.
Yeah, right.
At least he does it.
I'm not getting married.
Yeah. I usually I'm pretty hard on the fellas, I think. In general, we are. I feel like he's probably just a little bit of a doofus, but maybe just a nice guy.
She loves him.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. She's actually making me mad. I'm going to say no. What kind of spiteful thing is that?
Yeah.
What was the question?
She didn't. She just said,
just no. Give me some advice.
Like, please advise.
I'm going to say.
Yeah, I don't want a copycat engagement so my boyfriend can keep up with his best friend. First of all, if it's a competition, Caleb stinks at it. He's always behind. I think either it's probably not a competition, but if it was, he's a loser. He doesn't know how to compete if he loses every time.
That comes in second.
Yeah.
Silver.
All right. So life from the past answer is, first of all, you should talk this out.
Yeah.
Second of all, the girl's probably a little immature, and Caleb may be a doofus, but I feel like it's not ill will.
No, it's not ill will.
Yeah, all right.
What's Secular got for us?
Secular says, you appear to be frustrated because your boyfriend has a recessive personality and is a follower. It is unlikely that he is going to change. Frankly, She's getting serious. Caleb doesn't appear to be mature enough to be making decisions with lifelong consequences.
Did you read that ahead of time?
No.
That's good.
No.
Because that was a good answer.
You might be much happier with someone who is his own man. He is his own man.
Whatever.
Now, the advice might still be true. This woman may be difficult maybe she's just not compatible with Caleb, with a guy that acts like that. That could be. But, like, I don't think that reflects negatively on Caleb. Yeah.
It just seems like that's the kind of guy he is.
That's yeah, he is his own
He's
man.
He's not a trendsetter. He just
Yeah.
She does the
right
leader.
Thing. Just, he does the right thing. He's just not the first one to do it.
Yeah. Which I think is fine. Yeah. The guy waits it out.
He Check. Does it.
There's prudence
that's
in
the
that.
Important thing. He
Sweet
does it.
Sweet dear prudence. All right, here we go.
He's a patient man.
Yeah, he'd have to be to deal
so,
with this woman.
So that email didn't come to the pathway here. I was hoping we had a special one just from us tonight from New
oh,
York.
Oh, no, it's us.
Yeah, yeah.
Fantastic. Hey. I love it.
Stay behind the veil, Gregory P. Hudson.
I love it.
All right. Dear Life from the Path, a year and a half ago, my doctor diagnosed me with ADHD.
What?
The medication I take is a stimulant, and it curbs my appetite. I take it before school, and it wears off by mid-afternoon. Because of this, I don't feel hungry at lunchtime. My teachers and schoolmates have noticed. They try to persuade me to eat, but I tell them I had a big breakfast, or I'm just not hungry. I know they mean well, but I want them to understand that I'm not anorexic. I don't want them to know I have ADHD because some of them make fun of people who do. Do you have any suggestions? Again, Boobie, you're going to have to articulate.
He's ready to talk.
He's
ready to talk.
I'm so sick of people that are just pushed down because of something that they do. I'm not going to tell my classmates that I have ADHD because I don't want to be made fun of for having ADHD. How do you make fun of someone for that? I'm thinking to my 14-year-old self that made fun of people, and I have absolutely nothing. Your schoolmates are stupid. I'm sorry. Your schoolmates are stupid. Be your own person. Tell them, hey, I take a medication for something, and I'm not hungry. Leave me alone. Or yeah. live with the fact that they just say, why aren't you eating?
Yeah. Can't why pay attention long enough oh, yeah. to eat? Like, what?
I'm being put down and discriminated against by people saying, well, why aren't you eating? Deal with it.
Yeah.
I am trying to think of how I'd make someone fun of someone with ADHD.
Right, exactly.
in a way that felt, and maybe I'm missing it because people haven't identified me as that, right? So like maybe I don't take it personally, but like it just feels like a, I don't know, how offensive can it be?
Yeah, exactly. Like you have a sequence of letters that defines you.
Because I mean, like, what could be worse? What could be worse than like
I have OBCD.
Let's say you have something, right? Let's say you got diabetes or something. Like something where like you have it. What was that? Do you have to, oh yeah.
Yeah, I do.
You got diabetes. The diabetes.
I
okay.
do. Let's do this.
You got
it's
the
real
world.
You got diabetes.
Okay. It's real world.
So
okay.
so here's
it doesn't
the
really work, does it?
No, it does. It's awful.
I feel like they can't hurt you more. You already have the diabetes.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Like
I'm dealing with the physical repercussions of having the disease. Your emotional Wilford Brimley's disease. Mm.
You check your blood sugar. Gonna,
yeah, exactly.
You check it often.
Did you poke yourself recently?
We will come and find you and needles. Poke you for you.
Yeah, it's like, really? Are you gonna I'm four times your size. Stop making fun.
I think this person needs to just bring a very small lunch and just eat it, even if they're
have
not
a
hungry.
Banana.
Just yeah, just eat something simple and healthy.
Empty calories, just
empty, this, yeah, celery,
some celery. Just bring something that's very very light.
Got me in this place.
Yeah.
First place.
With a shell and nothing inside.
There you go. If it's that big of a concern, and then they can hide it, and they're happy, and
yeah,
or just learn to like you say, just. You know, guess what?
Lie to your classmates and be superficial so they don't make fun of you.
That's not lying. It's just not eating much.
I'm eating.
Well, man.
You don't eat. Why not?
I think she's looking at it the wrong way. The situation is this. I mean, ADHD, certainly a problem, but so many... this is going to sound terrible, so I'll say it. there are so many educational benefits that come along with ADHD. Let me just be honest about that. I mean, you can, if you get some, like, some IEPs, some very official, you get, like, extended test time here. Like, you can write a letter to the ACT company, and you can get extended, if not unlimited time, to take the sections on the ACT with ADHD. So, cool. So she's talking about, you
I'm
know,
retaking that.
Having, wait, having a problem hours. With like lunch here. I was like, boy, yeah, you're focused on the negatives of it. You can focus on the positives. Maybe that's wrong of me to say, but there are some privileges to having ADHD. And I know it's weird because I could never say that about diabetes. Like, look, there's some
no,
positives
that's not
about
true.
Diabetes.
You're watching your
privileges.
Diet. You're
Trust
eating healthier.
Me, there are privileges.
Okay.
I promise
well,
you that.
Well,
there,
isn't that from the Jungle Book? Because accentuate the positives
is,
or something.
Exactly.
I'm totally going to get in trouble in life by saying this. But the whole deal is everyone is always worried about your blood sugar. And yeah. you don't have to tell them that you always have super high blood sugar. So they may offer you a cookie. That's diabetes for you. They're like, is your blood sugar okay? I'm like, I'm not feeling it right now.
I had no idea.
Have a cookie.
I still think that's a minority of diseases, though. Be like, look, Johnny, let's look at the positives of lupus. I don't really think. I think the diabetes and the ADHD might be in the minority of diseases where
there's
a couple
a
of positive
lot of people that have that
spins
now.
To it.
Type 2 is a huge.
But I could
deal.
Be wrong.
Yeah, yeah. So I would move on this one. I feel like you just tell the truth. Yeah.
You do tell the truth.
I take medication. I'm not hungry. I'm not hungry in the middle of the day. I take some medication. What's it for? ADHD. Like, what's it?
I mean, I'm totally going to try this. I'm going to stop eating lunch and just see what everyone's reaction is.
Well, look. I mean, look at the last thing she said was, "I know they mean well, but I want them to understand that I'm not anorexic." Right? She's very much protecting.
Yes.
Like, what do they think of me? I don't want them to know that I have ADHD because some of them make fun of people who do.
Still trying to wrap my mind around.
I haven't seen much
how...
of that. I'll be honest. I teach school every day. Haven't seen a lot of. Making fun of the ADHD.
Yeah.
I just don't see it.
I don't know what you...
What? How old was she, did she say?
No.
Oh, okay.
I'm guessing like middle school.
All right. Here we go. Secular says, the principal of your school should be told that you are on doctor-prescribed medication that suppresses your appetite so that information can be shared with the teachers who supervise the cafeteria. That way you receive less pressure to eat from the adults. Your classmates do not have to know. What do you not know, kids? Hey, what's up? You don't have to know. Oh, good. I'll just leave it be then.
Yeah, I'll leave it completely
that's
alone
how kids
now that
are.
I've been
wait,
told
did,
that
did
I don't need
say,
to know.
I must have missed the original. Did it say I got pressure from the teachers to eat?
My teachers and schoolmates have noticed they try to persuade
teachers
me to eat.
Okay.
So I think that makes sense.
Yeah, that does make
I would
sense.
Tell okay. the, make sure the teachers teacher are aware.
Yeah, I'm surprised they don't know.
They should know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is weird that you wouldn't just mention that. Like, why wouldn't you just tell the teacher offhand somewhere else, oh, by the way, here's why.
I'm on some medication that makes it so that I'm not hungry at lunchtime.
Yeah. But this...
That seems like a very easy thing to communicate. Yeah.
But this, your classmates do not have to know. I feel like that's just foolishness.
I'm thinking if she truly has ADHD, the teachers probably had a little bit of hand in getting that diagnosed.
Probably. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, you know, they're with them more than any other adult.
That's true.
If someone accused you of being anorexic, just say that your doctor has told you your weight is normal. It's a shame that they would tease someone who has ADHD because it's a condition that so many students and adults share. However, because you feel it would make you a target, you're wise to say nothing. I don't agree with that. You got to live your life.
Right.
Yep.
Guess what? When
I'm
it comes
on medication
down to it,
here for a little bit.
You're going to forget 99% of the things that happened to you in high school like a year and a half later. It is not a consequential thing in your life. Just move on.
All right. Finally, dear Life from the Path, my husband is an only son. His mother lives an hour from us. I love her dearly, but when she calls to let us know she's coming to visit on any given Saturday, she won't give us a time of arrival. She says she doesn't want to be bound by time because she runs a lot of errands. She doesn't appear to notice the inconvenience to me and my active family who are bound to our house the entire day waiting for her to show up. My husband brushes it off, but it frustrates me. How should I handle this in a kindly manner?
That's easy.
Yeah.
That's stop at a gas station if you don't have a cell phone and call me when you get to town.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Guess what? You're coming over to my house as my guest, and I need to know when you'll be here. So,
or just say,
tell me.
I'll be here between 12 and 1. Other than that,
I don't want to be bound by time. Basically, you're unorganized and you're a procrastinator. Cool. Good
I feel
know.
Like, first of all, this husband is a total pansy. This is your mom.
Yep.
It's his mom. Mm-hmm. He hasn't. Don't be letting your mom beat up on your wife with this type of business. That's embarrassing.
That's no good.
No. Second of all, when she says, I don't want to be bound by time, I would say, I don't want to be bound by you. If we're home,
exactly.
We're glad to have you. If I'm not home, I'm sorry you drove all that way, but you should call ahead of time and let me know when you're going to be here.
Yeah.
I agree
oh, Mom,
with that.
I didn't realize you were going to be here at 2. We had a day planned.
Yeah.
You should be gone. Just be gone. I think my roommate in college, there was always this gentleman who always kind of stopped by our room, and my roommate did not like him at all. And so, like, James would be in the middle of playing a video game in our room. He was my roommate. And all of a sudden, this guy would knock on the door. I wouldn't be home. And James would just drop everything, and he would just leave because he knew that this kid was just going to hang out in his room and watch him play video games. So he could be doing anything. He could have someone on the stove. He would just leave at that point. That's what they should do, all right? Live your life. Do your day, all right? If you need to go, go.
Yeah.
If you come back, come back. If she comes, hey, that's got to live your life.
That's
I give
not,
it 2 times. That doesn't happen anymore.
That's not unkind. Yeah. It's the reality. Like, you doing something foolish to accommodate someone else doing something foolish it's not unkind to stop doing that. That's a normal reaction. She can learn to deal with that. That seems completely reasonable.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see.
What's secular?
Secular says, the next time your mother-in-law calls, ask her when she plans to be at your house because you have errands to run too. when she says she doesn't want to be bound by time, ask her to call you on your cell phone and let you know when she's done with her errands, and you'll meet her at the house. That way, none of you are tied down or inconvenienced. I'm still not for that, because it implies that I have to leave what I'm doing
right.
to come visit you, like, whenever you want to show up.
Mm-hmm.
That's still the soft way out.
Yeah, because that still makes it so whatever I'm doing today, I have to commit softly because she might call. That's still not going to work. Hey, we're home for the next 4 hours. If you want to swing by, cool. If not, we're not going to be here. I don't arrange a Craigslist meeting with somebody, not in that way. Hey, you know, swing by whenever you want to. Pick up this deal that I was going to sell you. I mean, but whenever, I'm totally going to work with you.
We'll be there between 8 and 5.
It's yeah.
like, that cable company awful. From the 80s now.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway. All right. There we go. Good advice, Phil. All right. There we go. All right. We're going to do one. We got time. Okay, we got time. We're going to do a quiz. We haven't done a quiz in a little bit.
All right,
bit.
Let's do a quiz.
Ooh, this is good.
We're going to see how we do on the quiz.
Pressure.
Let's see. What shall we do?
So basically, we're about to take a Bible quiz. Ben will let us know exactly what quiz.
Do we have a Bible quiz theme song?
We do not have a Bible quiz theme song.
Oh, I feel like this one's going to be hard.
What do we got?
It's called
Bible quiz.
It's called Children. That was sweet.
That was awesome.
It's called Children in the Bible.
Ooh.
Children in the Bible. Here we go. Number one.
Oh.
Whose daughter died while Jesus was on the way to his house to heal her?
Jephthah.
Jairus, Jamtha, Jonas, Jacob. That is, Jephthah was the daughter that died. Because the guy yeah. promised the first thing that came out.
Exactly. Because I totally blew off the rest of the thing. I just decided who it was.
Yeah, you kind
of
did.
Whose daughter died while Jesus...
Oh!
Jairus.
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 Whose daughter died so while excited. Jesus was on the way to his house to heal her.
Jairus' daughter.
Yeah.
Jairus?
Jairus' daughter.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going with Jairus. Yeah. That was okay, here we go. Two. That's what awesome. Young virgin kept the aged King David warm? Tamar, Abishag, Michal or Deborah?
Abishag.
I also think it's Abishag.
I'll go with you guys then.
Okay. Survey says Abishag.
How cold is King David in Israel? Apparently
he's
cold.
He's old. His, circulation is not going anymore.
I guess. He was... Middle East.
This daughter old. Of Leah was raped by Shechem, the son of Hamar the Hivite.
Sounds like Dinah.
Someone's in the kitchen. Bova, what are your thoughts?
Sure.
It was Shechem. Dinah, Rachel, Bilhah, or Deborah?
Dinah.
I agree, it's Dinah. All right.
I'll wait for the answers.
He was David's first son, who later in life raped his half-sister Tamar. For this deed, he was murdered by her brother. Adonijah, Absalom, Amnon, or Jezreel?
Be a little Amnon.
Who is it?
Amnon.
Is it Amnon?
Mm-hmm.
David's first son, who later in life raped his half-sister Tamar.
Yeah, because Absalom was hanging from the...
Yeah, he was that long hair in the tree. In the
yeah.
Terebrinth okay. tree? But no, it's Amnon.
I'll Amnon. Go with that.
All right, you got to let Buva guess first.
Oh, sorry.
No, he's don't left, do that.
He's bandwagoning
Dude,
these
I'm,
answers.
I'm awful with Old Testament
Number
I'm
five. This king was 7 years old when he began to reign. Manasseh, Jehoash, Josiah, or Hezekiah? Buva.
I don't think it's Hezekiah. What were the first three?
Manasseh, Jehoash, Josiah, Hezekiah.
I'm going to go with Jehoash.
Josiah.
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 Yeah. I like Josiah. Six. How many children did Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue, have? One son and a daughter, four daughters, one son, one daughter.
I have no memory at all.
No, I don't. I'm not familiar with that.
One daughter.
One son.
Okay, so it's not one son.
Okay.
He at least has a daughter, right? Because the daughter was healed. So it's got to be, right. Could be one son and a daughter.
One son and one
four
daughter.
Four daughters or one daughter.
Four daughters?
One daughter.
One son, one daughter.
I think it's one daughter. What are your thoughts, Buva?
I'm going one daughter.
You
I'm
want one daughter?
From the beginning.
Dan?
Yeah, was that the whole thing? It was his only no child. I don't remember. I'm going to go one. Yeah, I like
okay.
it.
Okay. All right, seven. What did the young Shunammite child do when Elisha brought him back to life? Coughed seven times, sneezed seven times, jumped up and down seven times, blinked seven times.
I think he sneezed seven times, didn't he? I thought it was really weird when I read it. I thought he sneezed seven times.
Coughed, sneezed, jumped up and down, blinked.
I thought the jumped up and down.
I don't remember that either.
I just don't.
Didn't he, like, lay down on the kid? Was that the one?
I was going to... My gut reaction was cough, but I have based on nothing.
Shot the arrow out of the east window to try to get Syria.
I thought it was sneezed because I thought that was the weird thing he did. But I'm thinking, I can't remember if the weird thing was him like laying down on the child like five times. That was Elijah.
No,
was it?
I don't remember that at all. I just don't. Which I'm very shamed at right now because I should.
All right, we gotta make one. Coughed, sneezed, jumped, blinked.
We'll go with Booba. That's fine.
You're on sneezed?
Yep.
Okay, so all rides in Booba. 8, this child was dropped by his nurse and was crippled for life. Okay, I feel like you can get this one. Balaam, Adonibezek, evil Merodach, and Mephibosheth.
Mephibosheth.
It is. I think it is Mephibosheth.
I always pronounce it Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth.
Mephibosheth.
Mephibosheth.
What are you saying?
Mephibosheth. I didn't say it right. I'm not saying anything right.
He's going to Mephibosheth.
Put it in, Bean.
Many fishes of those. Many fishes. Number 9.
Mephibosheth.
Dan, are you in with Mephibosheth?
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Please.
9. A woman from Canaan asked Jesus to heal her daughter because she was vexed with the devil, was lame and couldn't walk, had leprosy, had died. Vexed with the devil? Greg Hudson?
I don't think it's leprosy here. I think it's the demon situation.
Vexed with the devil, Dan?
Yeah.
Vexed with the devil, lame and couldn't walk, leprosy or death?
I'll go demon.
Demon? I'm in demon. 10, what king threatened to cut a child in half?
Solomon.
Solomon and the baby.
11, when Jonathan shot his arrow beyond the target in the field, who retrieved it for him? His son, a little boy who was not named, a maidservant of his wife's, the girl who would later become his wife.
Whoa.
Booba.
What were the 4 again?
His son, a little boy who was not named, a maidservant of his wife, the girl who would later become his wife.
So it was Jonathan, right?
Yeah, Jonathan shot his arrow.
His son.
I thought it was son, too.
That's my gut.
I think it was his son.
Okay, I'll select son. I think it's a little boy who was not named. But we'll go son for the group. 12, when Jesus fed the 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, who provided the loaves and the fish?
A young boy.
A young boy, a young girl, Andrew's son, or we are not told.
The young boy.
Here we have some. It's the size of a young boy's lunch.
Okay. All right. Let's see what we got. All right. Hold on. All right. The quiz has been taken 14,000 times. The average score is 74%. Let's see how we did. 1. Whose daughter died while Jesus was on the way to his house? Jairus. Okay. We said Jairus. That is correct. Question 2. What young virgin kept the aged King David warm? We said Abishag. That is correct. The daughter of Leah was raped by Shechem, the son of Hamar the Hivite. We said Dinah. That is correct. Question 4. He was David's first son who later in life raped his half-sister Tamar. We said Amnon. That is correct. This king was 7 years old when he began to reign. We said Josiah. That is incorrect.
What?
I think he was older than that. Maybe like 9.
Oh, it was Joash.
It was Joash. Joash was 7.
I thought Joash was 6.
Yeah. They said he's 7. 2 Kings 11:21.
It's a King James version.
Everyone else knew it from the South. That reads their Bible daily.
Yeah, by the way, I don't buy that 74%. Just so you know, I think people are using the internet to get to that 74%.
Yeah, New International Version, 2 Kings 11:21. Joash was 7 years old when he began to reign.
I think that was my answer.
What a fail. How many children did Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue, have? We said 1 daughter. That is correct.
There it is.
What did the young Shunammite child do when Elisha brought him back to life? Booba said sneezed 7 times. That is correct.
Yeah. Nice.
Question 8. This child was dropped by his nurse and was crippled for life. We said many, many fishes. Mephibosheth. The answer is correct.
Mephibosheth.
Question 9. A woman from Canaan asked Jesus to heal her daughter because she, we said, vexed with a devil. That is correct. Question 10. What king threatened to cut a child in half? Solomon. That is correct. Question 11. When Jonathan shot his arrow beyond the target in the field, who retrieved it for him? We said his son. That is incorrect. The answer was a little boy who was not named.
There it is.
Ben got that one right.
That was Ben Foost.
Question 12. When Jesus fed the 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, who provided the loaves and the fish? We said a young boy. That is correct. Grand total.
10 out of 12.
84%. We're 10% better than the average.
Woo! That's right.
If you go to christianquiz.christiansunite.com, there's all number of quizzes. You can take a look. See how you stack up on your Bible quizzes. That's what we're about. We're checking the Bible for wisdom. Thank you for listening to Live from the Pack. Big thanks to Gregory P. Hudson for stopping by the show tonight. Thanks, Greg. And you can check out more from the show. Go to livefromthepath.org. There's clips from the show, past interviews. Also, we're looking towards, what's the 31st? Next week, Chandra Knutson is going to be back in the studio. She's got a show coming up at the Mars Cafe in April. And so we're going to talk to her and see what's going on in her life, maybe hear a little bit from her. And thanks for listening to Live from the Path. Have a good week.